something, all right? You gave up 2.5 hours this morning, actually probably more three and a half, you know, with the time to get here and get ready and all that. So whenever you want something, it is really important that you set your intention. In terms of, like, purpose and direction, thank you, Robert. In terms of life fulfillment and abundance, in terms of health and well-being, being happy, all that, you need to have an intention. Some call it a goal or a mission or, you know, a clear focus. That's another way to see it. And most people walk around, frankly, kind of like adrift in the sea of life. Well, let's see what happens. I feel like going, so like that. And they don't understand why they don't have a life that actually functions in a focused, purposeful way. So what I'm going to ask you is, why are you here? And the way I frame it, rather than why, is what is my desired outcome? What do I want from this experience? You're spending 2.5 hours. You know, you might want to even write down a couple of words. Good, perfect, come in, come in, come in. Oh my gosh, she's back from the other side of the pond. She was in Switzerland. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's back from the other side of the pond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all good. This is Florence. And actually, when you go around, you can even say your name. That would be good. So I'm just beginning. There you go. I'm just beginning. And I'm talking about setting an intention. So when I set an intention, I don't do it so much mentally as I just take a moment and breathe deep and say, what is the highest purpose for this time, right here, right now, in this space? And then I allow to bubble up. Sometimes it's words, sometimes it's feelings, sometimes it's a goal, sometimes it's a clearing. What is it that I'm really here for? I'm here to receive, I'm here to give, I'm here to be present for. And if you have a word or two, or maybe a sentence, or maybe several ideas, write them down. It's always good to put it in writing. So just take a few minutes and just, what am I really here for?
Are you speaking here?
Right here, right now, in this room, this 2.5 hours.
Okay.
No, this 2.5 hours. You have to start with where you are.
We've not done anything with that yet, so don't worry, you're not
okay.
Behind. Yeah. That's preparatory. Terrible coming in on time, isn't it? You feel like you're late. Coming in on time, you feel like you're late, yeah.
So I'm always early.
I met a girl, her name was Early.
Oh my gosh.
On a cruise ship. I've never met anybody that had early, but I liked it.
Maybe she was born early.
My dad always said if you were 10 minutes early, you were 5 minutes late.
So everybody's sort of complete? How you doing, Loretta? You complete
Fine.
For now, or you want to add something? I think I'm everything I can think of.
Okay.
So, and you can think of this in your relationship. So I believe when someone asks a question, asks of other people, they need to be willing to give it themselves first. In other words, it is in my giving or my sharing that I create the safety that allows you to know that it's fully okay, safe here, for you to share too. So you can just imagine that in all your relationships, you ask someone for something, make sure that you are sharing it or giving it first. Does that sort of make sense to you? First. Because we have a tendency to be out there trying to get something, I'm curious about you and you and you and you, and I want to get your input. But if I'm not willing to share mine, I'm telling you that I'm here to get, not to give. That concept needs to be reminding us all the time that we're here to give. So I'm just sharing it. So this is what I got to share with you. I just asked Betty Lou, what are you here for? I'm here to be happy and enjoy. I'm here to be clear and open. I'm here to connect. I'm here to be reminded. And when I wrote reminded, what came up is new mind. I want a new mind. And then what that reminded me of is, be not conformed to this world. It's a piece of scripture from Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that's always been like an underlying theme of mine. To allow myself to be transformed, meaning changed, by putting on a new mind. Not the same old mind, but the new mind. Okay, so I'm Betty Lou. That's what I'm here for. Somebody
thank
else.
You. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and saying thank you is good, because that tells people that we're all appreciative of each other.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my friend Jennifer. She's supposed to come, but I don't even open email. I'm just writing all down. I'm happy to be with family, to see you guys, because I haven't hugged you for 5 months, and it's a big purpose that I'm here.
Thank you. And this is Meta, M-E-T-A.
Oh, I like the name.
She likes it too.
It's really my birth name, and it really means Meta Physics.
Yeah.
And that's who you are, metaphysics. So, somebody else, yeah. Were you ready? I saw your...
Yeah, my name is Carol, and I've been going back and forth with this thing. And because I started here, I realized that this is where I should be, because I feel safe. And when I come on Mondays to have the support group, I share a lot, and so does everybody else. But I feel like I can, because I feel safe here. And one of the things that I decided to let go of something that was pulling on me was the Women's Club. I've been in it for like 10 years. I think they do really wonderful things, but I feel that... I don't feel safe there anymore. I don't feel, like here, I feel like we're a family.
Mm-hmm.
So my intention is to make some changes this year that aren't working for me.
Ooh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I would rather get involved in community and maybe let some other things go.
Yeah.
And I would really like to have a relationship with a man. I think I'm ready, if not... You know, somebody that I could just go out to dinner with and see what happens. But he would have to be spiritual and honest. I've always picked the wrong kind of people. And maybe my heart was closed, but now it's starting to crack open.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Yeah.
I want a man too.
Maybe you could share.
You take the upper part or the lower part?
I like the communication part.
You guys.
Oh, funny.
It's supposed to be funny.
I know it is.
Okay, who else?
My name is Florence, and I'm trying to ask this question of myself, I'm asking for directions more often, and so that's what came up for
me
today.
Thank you.
When I asked, I'm here for clarity and direction, for ideas and inspiration, and to be clear about my purpose.
Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Florence. Glad you're back.
Okay, I'll go. My name's Lisa, and I work better in pictures than in words, so I drew a little heart and a smiley face and a stick man, which I guess the best way I can put it into words is that it's a representation of my love for myself and my happiness and wanting to share that with my friends.
Wow.
And help improve all of our lives.
Wow. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. By the way, I like to take what people are sharing with me and I bring it into myself. You could say we join, you know, wherever two or more join, there all things are possible. And I say where two or more are joined, there it is. It actually exists. And so I'm very much yesing you, thanking you for your sharing, because it really becomes a part of me, my yesness. Yeah. So, Shelley, yeah.
Thank you. I think it's interesting, I'm listening to more very long-term type things, but I've just had a very stressful week and also all kinds of things, a bunch of financial stresses. And I know every time I come here, I leave feeling, the things I put down there, serenity, calm,
good, very good.
And then regaining control, which is more of a thing than, you know, but I think there's a sense of loss of control when everything happens at once, all these losses. And then just being able to let go of stress and balancing my body, because my body starts giving me trouble when I get stressed. So.
Yeah, thank you, good. Yes, right? Was there something more?
No.
Okay. Okay. It's good. It's good. Robert and Loretta.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm Robert, and so what I wrote down was I'm here to use this morning to reinterpret my life purpose, so I can express it more accurately at this time in my life.
Yes. Reinterpret your life purpose so you can more accurately express it
at this time
in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, I want what he has.
That's good.
Thank you.
By the way, Robert, did you say your name?
I did.
I just want to make sure you all know this.
You said my name, and I realized I didn't say it. I'm Shelley.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley. Robert. Loretta.
I'm Loretta, and what I wrote down first, what I want from this workshop, I want to raise my consciousness. I want inspiration. And then to grow spiritually and to give and receive love and to share fellowship and friendship.
Yes.
And how'd you put it? I want to write down.
Reinterpret my life purpose.
That's a big one.
Reinterpret your life purpose, yeah. You want to say it again for her?
Yeah, to reinterpret my life purpose so that I can express it more accurately at this time in my life. Yeah.
I don't even know what my purpose is.
We're going to get there. So I'm going to start telling a couple of stories and a different way of viewing this, because Robert and I have done most of the workshops that we do many times, and it's always brand new. It's always brand new for us, and it's always designed in the moment by what I call spirit for the people who show up. So we have certain themes that actually ideally cover the whole of our life, including, if you look at the series, including finances and prosperity, including relationships and communication and family systems and life purpose, and probably other things I don't remember right this second, but they come up as they need to come up. So that reinterpreting or the re-looking right now, which is why I asked, what are you here for right now, is really important for you. And it doesn't matter how it is relative to anybody else. It's yours. And you can always change it, meaning midstream. So you can take on somebody else's life purpose you heard here. You can abandon one thing and say, I have a different purpose for being here today. And it's all exactly as it needs to be. There's no right way, and that's something people somehow have learned from parents, but it's generation after generation, and teachers, there's a right way. There's no right way. There is, in the moment, the way in which you are guided to be. So I have a story that I've used over the years about literally being born from love, as love, for the purpose of loving. So if you imagine that you come in as an orb of love, unlimited creative energy, that's what I'm going to call it right now, then you get to design your life as you want it to be. However, you have lots of people, including the doctor who births you, including people who talk about you when you're in utero, including the situation globally when you're born, you know, a war, an economic thing, you know, all of that. Family members, what happens with your mom and dad, all of that stuff are literally infused, taken in by you, and begin to define, and often confine that which you think you're here for. Confine, close it down, limit it. So my picture is that you're actually a diamond essence, that you're an orb of light energy or love energy with many, many, many facets. And I actually think the facets of each of us is always growing, kind of like a crystal that grows all the time, you know? So we have all these facets. And from conception, and maybe before, there's certain energies that are, I call it, splatted on you, meaning projected onto you. And those energies are sometimes feel negative and confining or constrictive. Sometimes they're expanding and opening and trusting. They're all different energies, but I call it mud and whitewash. So mud is the kind of dark, cloudy energy that covers up the light in you. And whitewash is what you want to do or you learn to do to cover up the mud. But I want you to hear that very rarely are we invited to stay innocent and open and just filled with light and love. So we have lots of layers of mud and whitewash. I'll call it, you know, yucky stuff on us, other people's negativity, the stuff in the world that's floating around, negative thoughts, and, oh, she's not going to live very long, or, wow, she's not going to be really pretty, or stuff like that. You know, she's going to be an old maid. And frankly, you know that those thoughts are out there, whether they're in the fairy tales you read, or what someone said to you, or what someone said to someone else, they're out there. And then we have the whitewash kind, which some people see as affirmations and positive thought, which literally is, let's say something good about the person. It's okay, dear. You know, you might not have a husband, but you're going to be well loved. You know, that kind of thing. Or, it's all right, I really like, you know, how your hair looks or how easy it is for you. So there's layers of stuff. So my image of us is by the time we are around a little while, we're like big M&Ms waddling around with layer upon layer of stuff.
I like that.
Trying to keep the sweetness on the outside, trying to keep the best picture on the outside, trying to look our best, you know, act our best so that we are attractive. You know, there's a lot of that. Attractive both in the physical sense, but also attractive in the spiritual sense. I mean, say nice things, you know, do nice things. Good thing. So we really are kind of waddlers. So do you want to go look or you're
no,
okay?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She knows that we're up here.
Okay. Then she'll be here if she needs to be here. Everybody comes when they, you know that, mate. Everybody comes and goes as they need to. I know you wish.
I'm a little disappointed that she didn't come.
Some people
I'm
come.
Here. I'm here.
You are here. And
I wouldn't be here.
And sometimes people who come here, sometimes we know that people come even, you know, an hour into it. I mean, probably all of you who've been here have seen that happen. And it's just fine. It's all just fine. And they're here telepathically. She's tuned into you, and she's tuned into us, so she's going to get whatever she needs to get. Okay. So here we are in these orbs of stuff covering our natural state, our real light and love, the real essence of who we are, why we came, what we showed up for. So a lot of life is about letting go. It's about washing away whatever is not true for you. You know, the old joke is Michelangelo chipped away at everything that wasn't David, the statue of David. You know, that much of life is about letting go of what is not true, what is not us, what is not ours, what we don't need. And yet, most of us are taught to keep adding on to ourselves. So we get heavier and denser and more stuck in our beliefs about ourselves. But just imagine, so now I'm going to have you imagine something for you. Imagine that your age doesn't matter. Because you probably are defining to some degree your age. Imagine that your level of education doesn't matter. Imagine that your background, where you grew up, who your parents were, what happened to you as a child, it doesn't matter. And you're at this table, brand new, innocent, naturally you, kind of curious and full of wonder. I wonder why I'm here. I wonder what my calling is. I wonder how I'm to show up. Do I wear clothes or do I go around naked? Do I live in a natural... See, your mouth open.
I can imagine.
I know the answer.
He's imagining naked. I love that. Thank you, Loretta. I saw you. Oh, my God.
Everybody showing up.
Thank you. But imagine that we have no self-consciousness. That we simply show up absolutely in love, in a state of love and innocence, like a little infant, right? Here I am, right? Curious, full of wonder, and looking out at the place at which we are, and because here we are, and ask ourselves, who am I to be? What am I to do? How am I to live? Give. Create. Show up. And I think that much of the time, I mean, I have several reminders right now, started some done because I write ahead. I have things that come up and I need to write them. But I think that we have a lot of us going around trying to handle what we've already done and created.
Close my car.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Easy does it. Right, Maida?
Yeah.
No rush.
Okay.
Easy does it. All perfect. So imagine that what we're doing is we're literally predicting our future by who we've been in the past.
Oh, it's okay.
Thank you.
I was a bit disappointed that you didn't show up.
Just life.
Yeah.
Right? Life.
I helped my husband out. But hello.
Hello.
I'm going to put you on a corner. I'm going to move you down just a tiny little bit.
So just a little catch up for you. What we've already done is we've set our intention for the morning, and for each of us we actually wrote it down. So if you feel like it, you can take a few moments. I think you have a notebook there. You can just write down, you know, any intention that you have. And then I just pretty much started telling a story of opening our imagination to seeing ourselves in new ways. And what I'll say to all of you is that the way you have defined yourself based on the ways that other people have defined you, the ways you define yourself based on the ways other people have defined you, you're good at this, you're not good at that, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, be careful of that because it didn't work, so don't try it again, or do that again because all those definitions of yourself literally are covering your eyes, your heart, whatever you want to see, your spirit. So it's very difficult for many, many people to stop and just be open, okay, what am I to do today? How am I to live this year? You know, what are the gifts I'm to bring to my life? And so a lot of what I hope we do here is help you let go of the restrictions, the limitations, the box you put yourself in, to open up and really be willing to discover what I believe you will resonate with, because it's true. Something about you always knows and always remembers the truth in you. Something in you is born, you could say, with a what do they call it? A message on our heart, a gift inside us, the presence of God, some people call it, always inviting us to be more and more of who we are, to show up more and more, to be more and more present, meaning alive to ourselves. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you see a human being who is this age and this weight and has done, accomplished these things and earns money this way? And all the little wrinkles and all the little, you know, critical things you might say about yourself. Or when you look in the mirror, do you see the energy of infinite goodness? When you look in the mirror, do you see the light in your eyes? When you look in the mirror, do you see that there is a presence in you that is absolutely super powerful? We're not doing that yet. We're not doing that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just that out there.
Okay.
It won't make sense, actually, for now. So I don't want to start until Maida's here, and then I'm going to have you.
I just want to make a comment on.
Please.
Yeah. Because you said earlier that the process that you used, the diamond essence and layers of mud and whitewash, and those lights is about letting go. So the thing that's important about having some kind of a basic core belief in yourself or picture of your potential or possibility is that when we begin to let go, what shows up is the next layer of mud. And unless we know that deep down inside there's something good and it's worth going through that or having that show even momentarily, we're going to want to cover it up with whitewash real fast.
Yes, thank you.
So what happens is we need to let go of the whitewash and see what it is we've covered up, and then easily let go of that till we see the next layer of whitewash, and then let go of that and see what we've covered up, and let go of that until we really do come down to that diamond essence. But at some point in time, you know, our temptation, unless we know there's a diamond in there somewhere, you know, we're going to be tempted to whitewash it all over and just say, oh, I'll go back and sit on the couch, you know, or I'll go back to the way it was easier before, you know, when I didn't have to deal with all this stuff. So part of today is that let's get a picture of what this diamond essence might be for each one of us, so that when we do start to uncover and we do notice some layers of mud, we can easily gently wash them away.
Number two, not that every door became afraid, went down to number one, asked her to please bring me home.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
I was completely confused.
Yeah, it's okay, honey. You're here.
You want with me.
You're here.
Oh.
You're here. You're here. Yeah. You're here. So Robert, with understanding that this is an ever cleaning or letting go process until we come home, what I want to add is that state is a state of enlightenment. That's what we're awakening to, is we're awakening to an essence that lives in us, in which we are created to be and to remember throughout our entire life. And so the less flattering or projecting on you, the better. Less flattering and judging of you by you, the better. And so this is conscientiously about no self-consciousness, because you've forgiven all these ways you've limited yourself.
Yeah, the thing that enters my mind is I can think back to specific things that were expectations of my parents and the things I've done that caused me problems because of that, but it's also a sense of, like, if I negate those things and let them go, is there some sense almost a sense of maybe, I don't know if this is the correct word, arming my parents or what they call, there's something hanging in there related
Thank
to
you.
That. That's
Thank
where
you.
I'm having
yeah.
the problem.
For some it's loyalty and allegiance. For some it is we believe our parents created us. I would say the vast majority of people believe that your parents created you, and yet that's not true. That they participated in the creation process, but we can give them the power to have created us as we are, or we can understand that there's a power greater than them, greater than ourselves, who actually is that creative potential that lives in us, that comes through us. So you're absolutely right. There is that allegiance. There is that attachment. There's even attachment to people you admire. You know, diagnosis. I've talked about this because it's the most obvious way. Anytime a person is diagnosed, it's fascinating to me how they actually just believe it. It becomes who they think they are. You know, our age. You know, I spoke about that earlier. Our age, very often, we have an image and we wind up looking the same and experiencing the same things that our parent or grandparent, someone we know, did at exactly the same age. And you can undo your age. You can actually, you're a good example, you can actually age backwards, which I've done several times in my life. In other words, become younger, or you can stop the aging process. You know, or at one point for the position I was in, I wanted to age myself by 10 years, and I did. And it's very easy to do that. We need to understand we are ever creative spirits. So we can create ourselves any way we want at any time, at any time. And once you have that, I'll say that awareness, it becomes a responsibility, which a lot of people don't want. We want to say they did it or she did it, or, you know, instead of letting it be. It's why people practice, by the way, changing their bodies. I mean, that's what we're best at, by what we wear, by exercise or diet or makeup or, you know, actual surgeries and Botox and stuff like that. I mean, people do that because they're wanting to practice their ability. Without understanding, they can do it with their mind, okay? Practice their ability to change things. We change our houses so we can change things. We change jobs so we can change things. We change lots of things so we begin to understand we can change anything at any time. And for me, what I like is I like to get naked, not without clothes, thank you very much, but I like to get naked or innocent. I call it innocentizing myself, sanitizing myself, washing away all that I thought was, and showing up simply being present and ask, and how am I to be, to live my life right now? Right now. It's a beautiful gift to give yourself. You can do it over and over. So Robert's going to, this is sort of how it's going to go this morning. It's 10 o'clock. If any of you need a break, you're going to say, need a break, and then we all take a 5-minute break, and you can ride the elevator or walk downstairs. Some of us walk and we meet in the stairway. Lisa and I do that on a regular basis whenever we see each other. And then we're going to do the work with Robert using symbology and numerology, and it's a profound work that's been done in many ways, in a prophetic way. This is not a prophetic way. This is literally dropping away all the prophecies and looking at, I'll say, the highest essence of what lives within you. And then we're going to do some other work based on either these pieces, or I'll just give them to you, and we'll look at where we need to go from there about how do I do the clearing, or, for some of you, how do I step into the purpose that I'm just rediscovering, or, I mean, it may be different ways that we take this depending on what the need is sitting in this circle. Or it may be just beginning to develop a support system for you to live your life true to yourself. So many possibilities for how we take it after we get some information from Robert. So I'm going to...
All right, so I'm going to play just a little bit. This, by the way, is a real... I just took two little pieces out of the work that I do in numerology and symbology to look at, real simply, a life purpose. But the second piece is to look at our growth number, which basically are the ways that we can respond to what goes on in the world in a way that will be most helpful, most growthful for us personally. Okay, so I want to say a couple of things. You already sort of mentioned, but about numerology or symbology or any of the ideologies that purport to tell us things. Loretta and I were having a conversation earlier, and so out of that conversation, what I said to her is that numerology, astrology, any of these other kinds of things, she was saying, you know, I like them, they're interesting, I don't let them run my life. And the way I look at it is each of these these ologies gives us some tools that we can use. And we can put those tools in our toolbox, or they are already in our toolbox. And it doesn't mean we have to use them. It just means, I could use this. And so if we're aware of the tools that are in our toolbox, then we have an opportunity to take them out and use them. The other thing I want to say is that not everybody uses the same tool in the same way. So, for instance, everybody with the same growth number is not going to respond in exactly the same way to circumstances, because we'll each see a way that works for us in that moment or for who we are in the greater sense of our whole self.
Can I stop you for half a second? Just as a background, does anybody know about numerology, symbology?
I just had mine done.
You just had yours done. You're stuck.
Ages.
Okay. Anybody else know about it?
No, a little bit about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from my standpoint, I stayed away from all of these, I'll say, esoteric ologies. I mean, there's all the so-called scientific ones, but they're pretty much the same, whether they're metaphysical or they're physical, believe it or not. Meaning that it all is open to interpretation. Your biology is open to your interpretation. What do you eat and how does it work in your body? Well, your numerology, you know, often based on your birth date, right, is also open to interpretation. And so what I want to acknowledge about this is there are hundreds of books about numerology and symbology, probably thousands, actually. I'm going to expand that a little. Probably tens of thousands of books, studies, by masters from all different areas. And so what Robert did in 1987-88 was he took, I think, 20-some studies, spiritual studies, because they often come from religions, and I don't know if you know that. They don't just come out of the blue. They come from various religious teachings. And he took about 20-some of those, and he took out of them the very highest interpretations, the very most spiritual interpretations, and he put them together in a work which is called Soul's Awakening, which there may be some copies of that around here, Soul's Awakening. And so he has taught, actually, hundreds of people who now do numerology and symbology. Robert, on occasion, does life purpose readings. It's a one-hour CD for us individually. But in general, what I want you to hear is he didn't just say, okay, this is a study, this is a body of work. He took a whole bunch, again, at the highest, least prophetic level. That's the tricky part, because we tend to use biology, the science of what's going on in your body, to literally diagnose and prescribe. We tend to take astrology and numerology and Scientology and blah, 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 all those, and we tend to put it into a box and make it, this is the right way, and that's not what he's here to do. So I just want to acknowledge it's a different way of looking at this. Okay.
Thank you.
Just wanted to.
So the things we're looking at today, we're going to look at your birth date, real simple, and we're going to look at your first name, your birth name. Okay? So even if you haven't used it before, you know, and it's some name that totally embarrasses you, you don't have to share it with us. So we're going to use the numerology from those two pieces to give us these two little pieces of indication of purpose and indication of our growth number. So you get to do a little homework first, okay? So everybody gets to be clever. Take one of these guys, pass them around. Actually, do that. Take one, pass them. And if you're not good at math, just ask for help. This is going to be as simple as possible. There's one more coming around.
I'm happy to help you.
And we got one coming there. All right, we're good. Okay. So,
yep,
that's good. So start off with your birth date. And you notice I'm a first grade math person, okay? I like to do my addition straight up and down. So your month, the number of your month, the number of the day, and the full number of the year. 19, whatever it is, okay? And I did the example of mine next to it so you can see.
So it's like, do you understand you're going to be adding straight down? So, Maida, what's yours, honey?
Oh.
What's your birthday?
I'm going to line up differently.
What's your birthday?
11, 6, 1934.
Okay, so I'm just going to show you all by doing this. Can you see this? So 11's at the top, and then 6, and then 1934. So I'm going to add 1 plus 6 is 7, plus 4 is 11. And then I'm going to carry 1, and I have 2 plus 3 is a 5. Don't know if I can do it that way. It's probably backwards. And then a 9 and a 1.
Okay.
Wait, is it 1921?
1935. If you take the no, 1951. 51. Sorry, I can't read your right. Yeah.
1951, okay.
Yeah. So, what? Everybody have that? So
wait
you
a second.
Have
Shelley's working on it.
No, I'm just checking my numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Because most people don't add anymore, so I just want to be helpful because you want this to be accurate. Anybody want me to add theirs quickly?
Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you. We're not to it yet, but I'm in there.
We'll get there.
No, we're not there.
We'll get there. So now you have a like in Maida's number, she had the number 1951. Okay. So add up the 1 plus the 9 plus the 5 plus the 1. What you're going to do is you're going to add them up, and then you'll add them up again until you come down to a single digit.
16.
Oh, and 1 plus 6 is a 7, Maida. Mm-hmm. Anybody else need help with that? Adding across. What's yours?
And then you
what was your number?
Single digit.
Mm-hmm.
What number are you talking to?
Give me your birthday.
12/8/1944.
12/8/1944.
Okay.
I was doing hers,
son. Oh, okay.
14/1/6/9/1. So yours is a 20, right?
It.
It comes down to 1964.
Exactly. Right.
And then you add the 1 plus 9 is 10, plus 6 is 16, plus 4 is 20. And then your single number is a 2 plus 0, which is a 2.
2.
Oh, I love it. Good job. Okay.
Okay.
You got yours, Loretta, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's
a 9. Maybe you got yours, right? A 7, yeah.
No, it's not. Is it 2017?
No, it's 2007.
Oh,
I can't see.
Thank
you.
That's
okay.
Good.
And
you got it. Good job.
You got yours.
Here's
a 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a 9.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a 9.
He's a 9, too.
Plus 7.
Oh, okay.
Got
another 9.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Just take it all the way down. Yeah.
I
got a
2.
You got it. Okay, good.
What are you, Loretta? Actually, I want to know what
9.
Everybody
sorry.
Is. So, Loretta's a 9?
Yep.
No, it is. It's actually important. It's valuable. Shelly, what's yours?
Oh, I thought you were. Okay, I'm an 8.
Shelly's an 8. That doesn't surprise me. Good. Lisa, you are a 9. Doesn't surprise me.
9.
And you're Jennifer?
Yes.
Jennifer is a 9.
Yeah,
Florence, what's you?
I'm an 8.
Another 8. Good.
I'm
7. Maida is a 7.
2.
You're a 2. Solar is 9. I think I have everybody,
Robert's
right?
Robert's a 9.
Shelly? Robert's a 9.
9.
So Robert's a 9. Robert is definitely leading the pack here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me because, me personally, because from my standpoint, 9s are a lot about completion, meaning looking at really what's the completion of this life. What is your life really about? And so they're very soulful and look inside. They're very inquisitive inside. Symbol as a hermit. I just want to say that now because I want you to know you're in the right place looking in the right way. And by the way, yours is exploration.
My
that's
left?
Exploration. A 7 is about exploring. I have a lot of 7 in me. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't do
the...
Are
you going to go for the other numbers?
Well, there will be plenty of it. I'm just getting people on board.
Yeah. So... There are lots of different ways to look at this life path, and she just talked about there's the tarot symbology, so you can take that number and look at that major arcana. I didn't do that today. I'm actually just using the numerology, but I'm going to take you one step beyond, because there are layers of this. There are the single-digit numbers, and then they're what they call master numbers. Now, the master numbers are where you have two numbers that are exactly the same, so 11, 22, 33, 44, okay? Those are the master numbers. And on your life purpose, if I look at it just from the numerological point of view, we could look at the ordinal number, but behind that or underneath that somewhere, there's the master number. And so what I want to do today is I want to get the bigger picture. So in order to find your master number, I put this little cheaty chart down at the bottom here, the master number chart. So all of you who have nines, Your master number is a 99. And that's because 9 plus 9 is 18, 1 plus 9 is 9, okay? So on where it says life path total birth date, where you had 9, put 99. All of you had 8. Your master number is a 44. Hello there. Pull up chair over there. Okay, and what other numbers did we have here? We had a 2, so your master number is 11. And a 7, so your master number is 88. Okay.
You can come sit over here.
Okay. So everybody have that?
Yeah.
All right, great. So this will give you a little bigger picture. Now, we're going to get to interpreting this, but I got to do all the math stuff for you first, okay? So let's go down to the next piece and do your name. The name gets a little funnier, so get yourself a clean piece of paper or in a section right over. It doesn't make any difference. Write out your first name as it was on your birth certificate, okay? And leave a little room around the numbers, around the letters, I mean, because you're going to write a number for each letter.
How about, do you have to put your middle name, too?
Nope. Just right now, today, all I want is your first
and
name.
Anyway,
I'm just doing a couple little, I'm picking a couple little pieces that I think will be helpful, so we don't have to do the whole numerology, okay? So, everybody have your name written down? There's a little chart there, real simple. And put a number next to each letter in your name that corresponds to that. So if you have an A in your name, it's the number 1. You have an R in your name, it's the number 9. So just your first name.
So you start your first letter at 1?
No, your first... So you find a number for your letter there. So Jennifer, J is a 1. E is a 5. Okay. Got it?
Yeah, it's too simple. All right. How are you doing, Neda? Okay, I think I got it. Oh, you have such a nice, full name. That's very good. Yeah. And 4 is 5. Yep, you got it. T is 2. K is 1. Perfect.
So add those up. So once you have the numbers for each of the letters,
L,
just add them up. Same thing we did. Take them down to a single digit.
Y, A.
Good.
Okay. So basically, it's going to be like Robert did it here.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to do, you can actually add them across
the test.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm making it easy. Just take it down to a single digit, and then we'll go back up and find the master number for it, okay?
So you just add them all together.
Just add them all together and keep doing like we did with the birth date down to you get one digit.
Anybody need help? Again, just remember most people don't.
All right. Yeah.
And since I see some of you doing, use your fingers. Really?
Or ask for help.
Yep.
I'm at school.
And by the way, when you do, when you get down to that single digit number,
then the two,
go back get the master. Yeah, go back and find the master number for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep adding your adding down to a single digit, and then you can get out of the chart and find the master number.
Okay.
Shelly needs her calculator.
It's
okay. Use your calculator.
Oh, she's already got it too. So yeah,
you
got 22.
Yeah.
First
time.
Well, I did. It could be 2 plus 2 is 4, but then you come down and find out that 4 really is 22. So you've got it all ready.
I found my calculator.
Oh, okay.
31. You have an easy one.
37.
But what is that?
You're
9.
9.
And that's a 6.
That's a 6. Yeah.
Okay. And then a
so
6 down here is 33.
Okay. So you're double 9.
Oh, is this 33?
Anybody want
double
me to
99.
Check over?
Okay.
So is the number?
You want me to check
for
yes.
The name? Is that the gross number?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we've got. Tell me what we, oh this is it, 2
yeah.
plus 2,
yes,
that's
right.
2, okay,
yeah.
4, 13,
so you guys
22, 25, 30,
yeah. So
34,
so
oops,
you're
you got 35,
be a
so 4, that's a 13,
because that's the master
13,
number behind that,
and 9 is a 22, And that's
okay,
the 3 is a 25 and 30.
I
get
on the first thing.
Oh, you did down
yeah,
the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a 7.
My mother said all
and so a 7 is actually an 88.
Down
at the
bottom.
You got yours?
You
got yours,
yeah,
Gladys?
So that's
where well,
I
you check or
your mine,
that's good.
It is
that's
down
to
1. Now, but what do you do with it? I thought
so
my master number was from
55.
Here,
so 1 is
your
a 55.
Okay.
Oh, you look over there
but
and you find a 6.
Life pass was a 99.
Uh-huh.
Here.
Okay.
Good 6.
All right.
You got it?
Okay.
Yeah.
And
well,
then you so you're going to write 55
yeah,
there?
This one's
yeah,
got a 44.
I know.
There they did.
Yeah.
All right.
And
your growth
okay,
number
okay,
and your
you got
life
the 99
pass
there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
I see.
Yes?
What's your number?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Your birthday.
22.
I'm actually 24. Okay, and so a 4 is actually 22, and then my gross number. Did I do that?
You're a 2.
I didn't do it just now.
Okay,
I've done it so many times.
Right, 2.
Okay,
right
so
there.
It's 2. I'll do it and I'll tell you.
It is 11.
Yeah, 11 is right there.
Uh-huh.
And then 22, you put down there.
7.
Yeah.
And then
I was wondering before you
do 3. Does everybody have
11, that's good.
2 master numbers in your little chart there? Anybody not?
How
I'll check with you real quick.
Good.
Right.
When I read mine, I was doing the test up there this right now.
You did.
Yeah. No. But you're at 11, and then when you reduce it down,
so
you're 2. But the 11's the master number,
yeah,
and that's good.
And I'm up to
so,
double 99.
Yeah. So I have an apology, but unfortunately, you know, you got to go through a few little hoops to do this. So the apology is we're taking some shortcuts and I'm making you do a little math. But now that you've got those numbers, okay, we have some things to play with. And so I want to say something that's really, really obvious, but I want you to get it in your brain. There is no number or no symbol that's any better than, higher than, mightier than, more important, more significant, more wonderful than any other number or symbol. Okay? We have our number and symbol. Okay, so that's just to be really, really clear about that. The second piece of all of this now is that I've gone to the master numbers because that's an energy that's in there, you know, underneath whatever single digit we have, and you could always find it by adding in some other way. So that's why we took that extra step. So we're going to look now at the potential gifts, talents, skills, abilities, energies that have been packed up for you in this lifetime. And so these are in your lunchbox, and some of them you actually will recognize. And you'll say, oh yeah, I got that. And most of them, because we're talking about master numbers, this really gives the more spiritual interpretation. You might say, well, you know, I'm not God yet, you know, but yeah. So you might have to say, oh yeah, I see, I do express that in the way I do this or that. So know that we're going to take now a really higher spiritual view of this, and it's going to translate down, as I said before, everyone, all of us 9s in here, all of us 99s in here, are going to express that differently, uniquely. So we're not limited by that number. We're actually enhanced by how we use that number personally in our own life. Okay? So here comes the number sheet. And again, this is just one piece of this. There you go. On one side it has life path master numbers, and on the other side it has opportunities for growth. I know, it's thick paper, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's not,
this,
you're not,
this
yeah,
looks like it's a one-sided
piece. Oh, we have only
one-sided piece. Oh, if you've got one-sided, give it back to me. Here, take that one instead.
I've got... I've
you've got one,
yeah,
okay.
Double-sided, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah, here you go. Sometimes the printer misses, burps.
Yeah.
There you go, you have both sides. Okay.
It should be double sided.
It should. Yeah, you got it double sided.
One says life path, and the other says opportunities for growth. You have two.
Okay.
So hand back one of those.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah, you got both on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just thick. It's
thank
okay.
you. There you go.
All right. So what I'm going to invite you to do right now is to take a moment. I gave you three blank lines, which is just the beginning, under life path up here. Okay. I want you to find your life path master number on the life path side of the page. And I want you to read through that and make a couple of notes. And you might write the whole thing in there, but I want you to just make a couple, you know, oh yeah, I want to pay attention to this. Or, wow, I wish this were true. Good, write it down. Because the potential is there. Some of this you know you do all the time anyway, and it doesn't take any extra focus, and it's like, oh good, so appreciate that. But make a note of some reminders for you of what you want to develop, what you want to increase in your life, what you want to express more of in your life.
Is there anybody who can't read it and need more light? If you do, I don't want to turn on the overhead, but you can open up one of these side doors and look in there.
Spiritual in relation to the physical. So
the
stuff
world.
Happens in the physical
world.
You actually see that from a spiritual point of view. It's not just that my car broke down. Oh, I'm off purpose here. I need to do this or that. Or, oh, that's a wake-up call for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about it to me is the sexism. It doesn't say humankind, it says mankind.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
I am very sensitive.
But most of these are all good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Do you know the word human is God in man? It's not about woman, because that's another word also used. But human is actually, hue is the sound for God. And man.
Yeah, the head
describes
the thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need to get out of this male-female thing.
Yeah. So what Carol just said was that these are all good, you know.
They're
and
all good.
Yeah, so.
Isn't that amazing? We're all good. We're all perfect already.
So this goes back to what I said to you before. If we have a picture of the potential of this diamond essence in us, this good that is us, then we'll be more willing to wash away the layers of mud and whitewash and go through the temporary discomfort or embarrassment or shame or blame or whatever it is we have in there so that we can come down to this all good. So this is not about potential problems and issues and stuff like that. In a moment, we're going to look at growth number. This is really about what do I have to tap into? So that when stuff happens, because stuff happens in this world, you didn't notice that, I'm just telling you, stuff happens, okay? But there's a way that you can respond to that so that it doesn't define you. And so I'm not concerned about what the stuff is that's going to happen. That's multivariate and everything is changing in that. What I'm really focused on is what can I develop in me that will be able to respond to this in remembrance of who I really am.
We're really washing away the errors of the world, the sins of
the world. That's good. That's good.
And the growth number is going to describe to you how, what the tools are that you have to wash away the sins of the world.
So
whether you take it personally or you see it collectively.
So let's flip and let's look at the growth number. And the premise here for the growth number is, as long as you respond to the stuff of the world, okay, in a way that it's in alignment with and in accordance with your growth number, then life will be, as Betty Lou says, more fun, safe, and easy. Again, doesn't mean stuff doesn't happen. It means it doesn't keep happening. When you respond in a way that is not in alignment with your growth number,
beautiful.
Those are the times that you get those little, no, I didn't quite get it here. Let's wake up a little more, you know. And so you get a tap on the shoulder. No, you get a slap upside the head. No, somebody take it too. You know, whatever it is to get your attention. So we're really saying, how can I respond to what comes up? What's the best way for me to respond? So I want you to look at your growth number there, and I want you to make a few notes. Back on the other sheet there, or any place you want, or circle them, I don't care how you handle it. Okay? But I want you to look at, what does this mean in terms of my responding to the world? How well am I doing responding this way? What would it look like if I responded to everything in alignment with my growth number? So take a couple minutes now and look at your growth number.
Is this the life path?
Nope, flip it over to the other side.
Okay.
Opportunity for growth, yep.
Oh. Then you put your growth number on that side. One side is just for growth, and the other side is for life path. And I would circle the number of life path
Thank
on the
you.
Life path side, and circle the growth number on the growth side.
And then you could also do what Betty Lou does. Instead of writing stuff down on another piece of paper, you could just underline some stuff that's in your growth number or in your life path. All right. Thank
or
you
just
for
read the affirmations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just read the affirmations. That's enough.
One thing that's really helped me lately, because I had a lot of death, a lot, and I...
Can you wait just a second until people are done doing their own discernment?
Yeah,
because
then we are going to share.
So
yeah,
quiet.
Thank you.
If you want a mindset when you read, instead of reading in a judging way, read with the word yes in your mind. Read and be saying yes.
Practice reading this as a description of you.
Yep. You that you're washing away everything that's not true, that's not essentially true about you. You are washing away the mud and whitewash, washing away the worldly projections onto you.
Invited in a couple of different ways, that you actually look at your life path and just share anything that struck you of that you're willing to share with us today. And then your growth number. So, for instance, I noticed on my life path, to keep it really, really simple, one of the words on the Master of Universal Love is perfection. And
so you are the Master of Universal
yeah.
Love.
All right. So my life path, I am the Master of Universal Love, and one of the things that I'm focused on is perfection. And the reason I circled that is that my understanding of perfection has changed through my life. And I started today by saying I'm looking at redefining my life path in a way that expresses itself more accurately in my life right now. So the whole definition of perfection, when I was young, it was like doing things right. Okay? And as I get older, it's actually recognizing that I am already perfect, even if I'm not yet perfectly expressing. Okay? But that's a growing edge for me right now. So in my life right now, that piece of perfection is important. The growth number for me is I am the master of transformation. And I actually like this phrase. It gets me every time because it's probably because it got me when I wrote it down years ago. But anyway, it's non-judgmental transformation. And it's a piece for me in terms of how do I respond to what goes on in the world. Stuff that comes up, I can change it without having to judge it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be bad or wrong or awful in order for me to have to be willing to make a shift or a change. I can actually have something that's beautiful and wonderful and still transform that into something that's even more perfect for this next moment in time. Okay? So for me, non-judgmental transformation is what I need to remember. So when I get bumped in the world, when I get challenged, when I feel threatened in the world, a human tendency is to kill it, to make it wrong, to get it out of the way, to erase it, to wipe it out, whatever, and get something new, or to use that as motivation to change. And what I want to do is I want to just be immediately in the sense of this can evolve. What can this evolve into? There's nothing wrong with this. It is what it is. However, where do I go from here? That's what I'm working on in terms of my growth number. Okay, so that's my sharing, and I'm just inviting anything from anybody.
This is what I'm going to suggest, that we each take a turn and we say my life path is, or I am, as Robert said, which is really good, I am the master of, you know, so that you have that description of it. And then if you have some comment to make about it, you do that. And I'll guide you as you do it.
Yeah, thank you.
And then you go over to the other side and say, and I am currently growing in this area. And see if there's something you want to say about your growth area. Because by declaring it, by putting words to it, seeing it, putting words to it, it's much more likely you'll create the connection inside yourself and you'll get the affirmation from people who are in this circle. So anybody want to start? Yes, Carol.
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to do that.
I am a master of life path. Are you on the life path side?
Okay.
I am a master of.
I'm a master of. I see perfection.
Master of what?
Oh, master of my life.
No, what's
no,
on there?
What's
the number?
What's your number?
Oh, 11.
Good.
All right. So you're a master of
the illumination.
Wait a minute.
That's not true. Carol, let's see.
It's a master of illumination.
Okay, all right.
So I read that thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You don't have to read the whole thing, but I am a master of illumination.
Is there anything on there you want to say?
I feel like I've been working on that.
What? What?
A master of mine.
But give me some words. I want some words.
I
what
shine
have you been
by
on?
The light on the world.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I am the light in which all illuminate and in which all seeming darkness and imperfection disappear.
So what does that mean to you? What are you working on?
Well, I've been working on, because of all these things happening in my life, divine right action every morning.
So you can see the light in all things?
Yes.
Okay. So you could actually create an affirmation, either use these or say, I see the light in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the growth number, what's your growth number on the other side?
Is that on this side?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 22. I am a builder of new worlds. I create my highest visions. I am powerful presence of manifestation of spiritual vision in material form.
Wow. So how do you see yourself working on that one?
I don't know. I'm still working on it.
So the other piece that I'll say, the growth number for this, when you are challenged, how do you respond? So for this, the response is to maintain your high vision, not to compromise, not to get lost, not to forget it, not to deny it, but to really hold to your vision.
Well, I have to challenge my thoughts sometimes. I mean,
good.
Challenge them.
Good.
And get grounded.
Good.
Renew my mind every day.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That's what I'm working on.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And is there any way that you could share with these folks? Because everybody benefits from you. Is there any way you could share with these folks how you do that?
Well, my sister got hurt really bad, and I've been able to help her. And I think we text back and forth. I go to the doctor's appointments with her, but it's helped her with the divine right action because
okay.
She was freaking out.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I was calm.
Uh-huh.
And usually not.
Good, good.
But being able to help her calm herself down, get herself grounded.
Know that it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. And it is.
Uh-huh. And
it's
it is.
It's been 2 months, and she thought she was going to have surgery. I went with her to the doctor, and they said, no, you don't have to have surgery. So, you know, I'm just saying that. I just felt so good about it because
yeah.
I've always felt like she was older than me and smarter. She's younger than me, and now I'm, like, helping her.
Beautiful. So you feel like you're the one who is the builder of, what's this called? Builder of
new
world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're focusing on the highest vision for her, and you're developing a sincere desire to help her, to help others. So you're going to use all of this.
I went to my toolbox.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
thank
I
you.
Had another thing. My grandson got kicked out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was in meditation, and I saw his father died, 47. He was with him when he died, okay? Both my grandkids in their teens. They couldn't save him. In the meditation, I saw that his father was holding him. So I wrote a letter to my daughter saying that he's watching over him, and I saw
beautiful.
That in my dream.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and helped all of them see in a higher way. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, yeah. So who else? You like that? Yes, please.
Okay, so lights off first, right?
Yeah, and do I am. I'm a master of.
Okay. I am a master of universal love.
Mm.
Yes. And I am working on completion. My past experience of myself has been not completing things, and that's been a real sense of failure. I felt inadequate. It brought up feelings of inadequacy for me that I'm, you know, just whatever. And so, and I too have been, you know, grown up with that feeling like I have to be perfect and everything has to be a certain way. And that's also been kind of a source of, well, if I can't do it perfect, then I'm not going to do it. And so that's crazy, and has also been a source of misery, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been working on allowing myself to say everything is perfect, it's all perfect, and there's perfection in the imperfection,
mm-hmm.
and things don't have to look a certain way. And as long as I keep putting my best foot forward, or any foot forward for that matter.
Yay.
As long as I don't give up,
keep moving,
going regardless. Just do my best, and my best can change from moment to moment. Then it's all good.
Yeah.
So, and then also working on being the way shower and leader, because growing up, I don't feel like I've had that sense about myself. That, and growing up, I didn't think that I was good enough. You know, I wasn't smart enough. All these things. And so it's taken years of reprogramming that for myself to say, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay just the way I am, and I'm still working on that, you know, because it comes up from time to time, but it's not anything like it used to be. So I feel, you know, good about that. Let's see, and working on unconditional love for all mankind manifested in leading, being, and serving the highest and best to awaken all to total love for self and others. So there's this passion inside of me to really be there for others, to really hold sacred space for them so that I'm not only... being the best for myself and allowing myself to shed all the stuff that's getting in the way from my true light shining, but also to be there in sacred space for others to allow their diamond to shine.
Fabulous.
So that is something that I really feel very strongly about, and I would love to have that manifest.
So when you flip over now to the growth number, that's where, from my standpoint, that's where you get the juice to do that transforming experience you're talking about.
Okay.
So what is your growth number?
My growth is I am the master of universal love.
Same.
Wow.
So I'm a double 99.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I love that. I'm reading it. Read that. Read that whole thing. That
the
is
whole
good.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I serve with no expectations or attachments.
Yay!
I learn to totally release the past through forgiveness.
Yes.
I am willing to lead.
Yep.
I strive for perfection and mastery. I know mastery and unconditional love. I am master of my world through the expression of unconditional love and forgiveness for all of creation.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Now, wouldn't it be fun if we went back and read these, you know, like 30 days in a row or something, just to keep it going,
absolutely,
you know, moving inside us? Yeah. Good.
Absolutely.
Right on. Right on.
By the way, we have several 99s in this room today, so I'm just going to say something about leadership. From the symbolic point of view, in the tarot, the nine is the hermit. And this is a 9 year. I just remembered that. So this whole year, numerology has the energy of the hermit. So leadership for the hermit, or for nines or 99s, leadership is primarily a form of leadership by example. And it's leadership by living your life in the way that you want the rest of the world to live their life, and then people will begin to notice and say, I want some of that. Whatever she's doing, I want to do that. Or how are you doing that? So it's not the rah-rah, it's not the commanding, it's not the other forms of leadership. So for the hermit, for the 9, for the 99, it's leadership by how you live your life, by setting a good example. So I just wanted to say that, because leadership sometimes for 9s sounds like, well, I don't really lead. Well, you don't lead the same way other people do, but you lead.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now other people. But I just wanted to share that, because we have a lot of 9s here.
So somebody else want to share. I am, starting out with the life path side, I am. And you can read it, or you can talk about it, or whatever. I am.
Okay.
Yeah, Shelley.
I am master of spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, I can see, I said, yes, this is me, because I've always, you know,
been you.
Good.
It is. And then I get on this, where I have a block is this manifesting material abundance. I guess right now I'm dealing with a lot of stuff. But I also have a sense, and which gets over to the other part here, mental transformation on the other side.
The growth.
Growth, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And my problem is I'm okay. I can do everything for other people, but I'm very harsh with myself, and I feel I haven't done enough for my family, or I'm not, you know, when I get into material things, that if I use financial things for myself, I feel like I'm cheating my mm-hmm. kids and my grandchildren eventually. And so this is where I have a block on that.
So look at your growth number.
Wait a second. I have to do a little correction. If you think that you are not materially abundant, I need to sit down with you. Anybody who's sitting at this table, I don't care what your bank account says, anybody who's sitting at this table, you are wealthy in a material way.
Yeah, I
mean, mega, mega, mega. We are over the 100% mark. We're 99.99999%. We are extremely wealthy, and we lie to ourselves every day to think that we're not. Yeah.
No, I'm aware of that, but I
still want more.
No, it's not even for me. It's a sense of if I'm taking from me, I'm cheating my children and grandchildren.
Things? We need to understand that our gift is the essence we're talking about here. It's not things. This is not about things, you guys. This because we want everybody to get their own things. If that's what they need to do is get their own things when they're in the ego land. We need to be giving universal abundance. That's what it winds up saying here. We need to somehow clear our mind of our American way, which is, by the way, this is not talking about the American way. This is talking about spiritual way. So if we're giving something spiritually, it doesn't have form. It doesn't have form. It has the gift of generosity, or the gift of patience, or the gift of, you know, I'm there connected with you, or the gift of listening, or the, and you provide that mega. I mean, I'm thinking just what you do for Somerset, girl. The people that you brought in there to teach, to model, to inspire. I mean, everybody at this table is like incredibly super rich.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I know I've always...
Do you have a grandma who smiles? I mean, oh my gosh, Shelley!
It came up in a few sessions ago. I think you brought up something about what was the world like when you were born, and that I was, when I was born, there was the Depression. My father had lost everything and had to, essentially, as I understand it, he hitchhiked, you know, to California, borrowed the money to put my mother and I on a train to get out here. So that I think, you know, from what you said, that really struck something with me.
So I'm going to go back and say, look at your growth number. It's the master transformation. And because it was important to me, I'm going to highlight it for you as well. It may or may not work for you. But the key word in that whole thing is non-judgmental transformation.
Non-comparative,
okay?
Not comparative.
Yeah, so... It's not judging what you're doing. It's not judging the effects of what you might be doing. It's really being present with what is. And the affirmation, the first one, is I change the world with love.
And you are filled with love.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, Shelley. You are full of it.
I know. I'm fine with other people, but
so non-judgmental, and you change your world with love.
See, one of the things that happens when spiritual people sit around a table and look at material, whether it's in one of those books or this, is somehow we translate it into worldly terms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not about our worldly self. This is about what we are growing into being, which is really returning to seeing that which we were created to be. We got lost in stuff and things. We got lost in how we dress or how skinny we are or how much money there, all that stuff. We got lost in that. We fell asleep. And this is about waking up. You know, it's like, wake up, Betty Lou, wake up. That we have to return to a really natural, innocent sense
of who we are. And it's not about
big fat and what did you say? The big candy. I like that.
M&M. We're big fat. Literally, fat headed, fat bodied, fat living M&Ms. That's right. And we did get fat and greedy. We live in a culture which is fat and greedy and constantly feeding and adding instead of letting go, and coming back to the essence. Come back to your essence, your purity. That's your state of greatest joy, greatest health, greatest willingness to be all that you are. It's skinnying down. It's simplifying. Yeah. I know it's a lot of words, but it's really coming back to an essence. Yeah?
I just wanted to express a quote from Gandhi, we must be the change we wish to see in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and the peace song, you know, peace starts
within.
Mm-hmm.
And so does prosperity. So maybe that's
right,
what you were teaching here, is that if I don't feel very loving of myself, very good about myself, then I feel like I don't have enough to give. Then I wish I could give more. But maybe if I come back in here and I love that which I am, I honor the gift of myself. And by the way, it may take a lot of us, you know, reminding Shelley. It may take a lot of us reminding ourselves. It may take a lot of, I call them mental, spiritual showers, you know, washing away all those thoughts to come back to just the essence. You're not only enough, you're more than enough.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're reminding me, one time a few years ago, my women's group, we did this, what do you want to be? And I realized I wanted to be a philanthropist. And my sense of, now that's the giving the money situation, where I feel like the things I do are not as giving or as adequate as you know, if I could have a lot of money to
so
give.
So my stepson wanted to be a philanthropist when he was probably 7. I can remember him saying he did. And right now he is a holy man within the Ananda group, Yogananda follower, a monk, a celibate monk. And he is manager of the East West Bookstore, and he's, about 33 now? He is truly a philanthropist, but it has nothing to do with money. Nothing. This is tricky business, this spiritual worldly stuff, because we read words, and we translate them very often into our worldly language and thinking, but it really isn't about that. Actually, Lisa, what was your picture again? That was a good picture.
The heart and the smiley face of the sick man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Having a happy heart in how you give and share with others. Yeah. Yeah. So I want you to go back, and as we continue doing this, I want you to look again at the essence. What is this reminding you of? What does it resonate with? What does it wake you up to be? Very often we had an experience when we were a little kid. You know, maybe out in nature, maybe with a friend, maybe with an imaginary, what we call imaginary friends, they're really there. You know, maybe in something we did or gave to our parents. See if some of this isn't in that. The essential you, the diamond you, the cleaned off innocent you. Somebody else want to share? I'm shaking this up.
My life path is I'm the master of evolutionary change. and God, it all speaks to me. And God directs change through me. And I feel it constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm going through life like this. And then my deep inner peace empowers dramatic worldly movements aligned with the highest spiritual direction, creating fearlessness and change. That's what I have to work on. Fearlessness and change.
Oh, yeah, good.
I always afraid, don't get enough to eat. Always, I don't want to think about the war time, but I feel
it still comes up.
Don't get enough to eat. I have to buy the store.
She was in World War II.
Yeah. I want to just let go.
So I know enough about the life-death experiences in your life, you know, dying over and over again and being born again and again, and you're not aging, and I don't know, you may think of yourself as aging, but I've known you now, 10 years? right? And for the most part, you keep on being a renewed or renewable Maida. And you constantly are bringing life back into the beings who are around you.
Yeah.
So what's your growth number?
My growth number is Master of Joyful Abundance.
Well, there you go.
Oh,
see, it even made her smile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, joyfully express a child. And I feel like a child. I feel so young in here.
Yes.
Yeah. Awakening the world to true abundance born of unconditional love.
Yes, there you go. That's it. That's it. And when you just say that, you feel your heart and you smile, there she is. There's that little girl again. Hey, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Come on over to my house. That's Maida. Well, you, those of you who know her, is that who she is? Yeah. That's who she is.
So you see, your growth number is remain innocent and loving. No matter what goes on, you just remain innocent and loving. And you see only the best. Only love and everything.
Even in chicks, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's true. It's true.
You guys have to look into the toilet and admire your poop sometimes. Because sometimes it's too good to be flushed.
I'm not German. I'm willing to flush.
For a thorough examination.
I love you, Maida. Yes. All right. Who else?
I'll go. So on the life path, I'm a master of universal love.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sums me up pretty well. I am working on the forgiveness part of it. I'm doing a lot of physical and mental health cleaning.
Thank you.
The forgiveness part of it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Self accomplished, and I feel better and carry on, and I get lighter feelings.
Good job.
Good.
Yeah.
So forgive, let go of a lot, and carry on. There's something about movement. You were talking about bowel movements, but there's something about movement, and you also said it too. If we just keep moving, this is what people don't understand. When we stop like this, we actually start dying. We need to keep moving, keep giving, keep loving, keep learning, keep, you know, just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. And on the growth side, I am a master of spiritual energy. I have a friend who, I guess, paid me a very, very high compliment about a year ago when he said, I want to be more like you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been very open and very truthful with him, and he's been learning a lot, and I'm seeing changes in his life, and that is, like, so huge. I'm very proud of him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Naturally. It's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
You're not
happens.
Pushing. It just happens.
If it's the right time to tell him something, I tell him something, and then I see the change. And I'd like to be able to do that with more people, but you have to realize who's open to you and who isn't ready to be there yet.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so true.
Thank you. Yeah. Good, huh? Yes.
Real good.
All right. So who's next? Keep learning from all of these people.
I will go next. Mine is, the life path is master of universal love, and I was reading through this, and I was remembering back when I was very, very little, 3 or 4 years old, and I would ask people, I want to know the truth, is that real, because they would read stories to me, and I wanted to know what was true, not because I didn't believe in the devils or the witches or the, you know, I wanted to know the truth, and I was always like that, and I was kept pretty isolated until I went to school, and I always expected I expected love. I expected people to love me, and I I wanted to love them, and it was sometimes kind of a shock that everybody didn't feel
didn't
that
love.
Way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then for the growth number, it's about be creative, alive, and energetic in pursuing your vision.
Which one?
55.
55.
Master of life energy.
Yeah.
And I realize that I do need to be more awake, to wake up more and express more. And in my life now, all is new in me,
mm-hmm.
because it's like a life within a life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is gone, and so
it's a new life.
Yes, I have to get new, and I have made new relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Wow.
And I have, thanks to you, I have been working on forgiving myself and other people. So, where was it? Over here it said, forgiveness, I'm master of my world through the expression of unconditional love and forgiveness for all of creation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you see how grateful we can easily be for ourselves and one another when we are living, expressing, owning our own essence.
Okay.
You know, when we're actually honoring what's in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we deny it that we don't have the full reception of that which we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to not deny it. We need to claim it.
Yeah.
This is the I am in me. This is what I choose to show up and be.
Yeah.
So somebody else who...
I wanted to say, if it's okay, you were talking about forgiveness. You're working on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But in the growth area, it says to be awake to completion and move on without delay. I just wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm. So when we're moving, when we're working, she's talking about forgiving. So that's part of how we move on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness, choice, and gratitude are the three most powerful tools I think everybody has to just keep moving on.
Can you say that again, the three most powerful?
Forgiveness, choice, and gratitude. I can send you my 30-day diet for enlightenment. It really is about we need to forgive, which is an eraser filled with love. So it's washing away everything. Everything, all of our beliefs are past, all that stuff, and then choosing that which is right and true for us, and then being grateful for everything, grateful for the forgiveness, grateful for the moving on, grateful for the being grateful.
on your grateful point,
uh-huh.
Someone pointed this out to me. It's actually something I've started doing in the housekeeping area. When you're getting rid of something or passing it on to someone and it served you well, thank you for its service.
Yeah.
Hold
yes,
on to it,
yes.
And say thank you for its service, and then
yep.
send it on.
Yep.
We're going.
Yeah.
That helps
a lot, too.
Yeah.
Thanking it for service.
Yeah.
I thought of that.
And the people who've gone, same thing. Thank you for being in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Or the stages in our own life. Thank you for, you know, having me be birth babies, having me go through bankruptcy, having me whatever it is, you know. To really appreciate that which we have received and given and learned from.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Gratitude's powerful. Powerful, powerful. Yeah. So, actually, Florence, since you suggested that completion, you want to do yours?
Okay. So my life path is number 44. I am master of spiritual power. I want to remember that I have this divine power within me, and so I
I'm balancing material and spiritual. And so I work a lot on mastering the physical and the emotional and material world. And so I see how that's true for me. And I think I look at other people that I'm with in a spiritual way quite a bit. I open the world to the abundance and prosperity surrounding us all, from which we can create anew. And I believe that that things change and that there's hope, you know, when other people tell me things. I think that, you know, there's just so much power in change and things going well. So about the leading and guiding mankind, I'm not too sure about that.
What's your growth number?
Sounds really good. A growth number is 99. A master of universal love. And I serve with no expectations or attachments. And I'm learning to release the past through forgiveness. And so the key here is about leadership on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's being willing to lead.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. And I strive for perfection and mastery.
So leadership means a lot of interesting and different things to each one of us. Do you have a picture of what it means to you?
Yeah, my picture is talking, you know, like saying things and having people listen. But that's not. I don't think that's really.
So what
it's for me?
Yeah. But you don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? Your way to lead?
By example.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just simply how you live. How you love.
Yeah.
And something I learned a long time ago that all of us may benefit from, and I always benefit from repeating things I need to be reminded of, is that love is not lost. Meaning that when I'm loving, I just wrote today in my loving reminder about love, when I'm loving, it's always received by every heart everywhere. In other words, love is not lost. It doesn't fall, you could say it falls on deaf ears, but it doesn't fall on a heart that rejects it. So everyone has love within us. So anytime I'm giving love to anyone, no matter what their mind says or their mouth says or their being says, their essence receives the love from me and returns love to me. And we need to somehow understand that love is not dismissed. On the outside, human, ego, yeah, sometimes they turn you away or say no or whatever they do, or maybe even crucify you, hi Jesus, and all of the other teachers. But all of them receive the love from all of us, and all of us receive the love from all of them. So know that love always has value. It's always making a difference. And you are always loving. So there.
And Florence always made me feel calm when I'm around you and very safe.
Yeah, safe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank
yep.
I think I told you that before.
Yeah.
That kind of thing you can always tell somebody again, though. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. It never hurts to share your love. I mean, that's really the bottom line, that love is always of value to everyone all the time. Yep. Good reminder on the ears and the eyes and the body and all of that. So I don't think you share.
Okay. My life path is, I'm a number 11. I'm a master of illumination.
Thank you.
And thank you. And looking at those words here, and I recognize that I do have a tendency to want to see things in perfection, and what I'm trying to balance is the perfection is my desire to strive so that I do not be in a place of lack, and that comes with fear of not having enough, or fear of failure, or fear of all the things that we experience right in childhood. So the balance I'm trying to do more for myself is to go with the flow, hold a lot more compassion for myself so that I do not have to sit in this place of perfection that I absorbed as a child, as a belief that I have to be perfect, to be loved, I have to be perfect, so that I am accepted at work for being a leader, or I have to be perfect in this area and that area in order to be accepted. The thing is, I accept me with my imperfection because I'm growing. So that is a lot of what I'm doing more for myself. And I do believe that when I can do that for myself and hold that energy, then I naturally will illuminate that for others who also may be tapping into that same energy, needing that, whether they share that with me or not. So that is, in terms of Master of Illumination, that is what I'm holding myself responsible, to become imperfect, recognizing I'm perfect by itself. And then in terms of my growth number is... I am number 88, Master of Evolutionary Change, and it just resonate a lot. because I have this thing to want to be perfect, therefore it is always the constant of wanting to overcome all fears, so that I do not sit in this place of how do I put this in English? In my mind, I created an illusion. If I overcome all my fears, then I can be perfect. And yet, that is the illusion. I do not have to be perfect, because fear is a natural part of this self-discovery. So I just go with the flow. So that is what I'm working on in terms of recognizing my fears, going with the flow, and having a lot of compassion when I feel the fear, addressing it with my spiritual truth. And just allowing the journey to reveal things to me. And in that, I change when it's expected. And I believe that's how I hold that light for others. If they watch me and see my struggles, then the more honest I am with myself, that gives people an opportunity to do the same for themselves.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. And you weren't here for the first hour, or whatever it was. So that's when I shifted all of this. So I'm going to shift it for you, and then it bears repeating for all of us. So you were created perfect. There is no imperfection in you. What happened to all of us is we got stuff splattered on us from the human experience, I'll say, that taught us about good and evil, that taught us about sin, that taught us about we have to do something according to a certain rule book or religion or philosophy. And instead, so we waddle around, we heard that a few minutes ago on this M&M, that's layers of mud and whitewash. That's layers of stuff that have been projected onto us that we've accumulated to try to cover over, plaster, whatever you want to call it, sugarcoat, what we thought was wrong with us. But this is actually about the unfolding or the washing away of everything that's not you. And that's a very different experience. Instead of adding to you, you are letting go of fear. You're letting go of what's not truly yours. And when you do that, what happens is there's a part of you that Robert mentioned it too, I think, after you were here, that you start covering up the sort of messy stuff you can see in there. Oh yeah, I was greedy during that time, or oh yeah, I punched that girl, or oh yeah, I did this, right? And so you start seeing some of the stuff that you've covered up, and you want to cover it up again rather than keep going. Keep going, keep letting go, keep forgiving, keep washing away, keep undoing. I want to see what's true. I want to see what's true. Ideally, therapy was meant to be that, but unfortunately it very often is not that. And I'm not going to, when they diagnose and prescribe, what happens, which is what it's become, it becomes a way that people begin to put themselves in a box and claim, oh yeah, my parents were this, so now I'm this, and now I can't do this, and I'm this age, and I don't have an education, and all that. Instead of, if you just begin to let go, gently, compassionately with yourself, what shows up is the natural state that you've always been. And once you see one facet of your diamond, this one little shimmering light in there,
mm-hmm.
you'll have much more appreciation and also positive energy toward, I'm going to keep going, keep washing away, letting go, washing away, letting go. I mean, that's literally the deal. And you asked about me, Florence, so I'm going to just do me now since you said that. So I am Life Path, Master Builder, 22, God energy put into form, creation, manifestation of the highest spiritual plan and vision, and that is what I do. I do create my highest vision. I tend to do it very quickly because I don't have fear. I don't have judgment. I just do it. Oh, yeah, there it is. I'm just going to do it. In fact, I want to remind you that I'm going to do a retreat instead of the meeting that I was going to do in June. We have another seminar in May, and I'll hand these around. But then I'm doing a retreat, a one day at our home in Brentwood for that one. So I create my highest vision. I am the powerful presence for manifestation of spiritual vision in material form, the cornerstone of the new world. I actually know what that means. I've watched it. I've watched myself experience it over and over and over again, a lot of different places, a lot of different times. And so for me, it's as natural as living, breathing. It's just natural for me. And so it's really easy for me to do that. So when we're about to go on sabbatical, when I go on sabbatical, what I do when I go is I look again at the old vision and see whether or not it's still purposeful now. So I'm always listening for what is true right now. Where am I needed right now? What am I called to do right now? And sometimes I think, my first experience with this inner listening stuff is back in 1976, 77, is I got stuck thinking that the first vision I saw, because it was beautiful and magnificent and high and all this stuff, I thought I was supposed to do it, but I didn't keep on listening, because every day things change in me, in thee, in the environment, the people around me. So I have to stay current with what the current vision is. So I'm just letting you know that all of us need to keep looking again and listening again and releasing our attachments again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And then my growth number is Master of Illumination. I shine my light in the world. I'm the light in which all are illumined and in which all seeming darkness and imperfection disappear, which, of course, is what I was talking about. We're shining our light, so the first one. Shining our light so imperfection is gone. When I come into relationship with you or anyone, I see your perfection in the light I'm shining. Mm-hmm. And people have to teach me what they believe is their imperfection. Do you understand that? It's the opposite of what the world has taught, which is we're all sinners, we're all imperfect. So I came in seeing, and I was seen that way by my parents, by the way, as perfect. And so when I look out at the world, I see perfection. So my growth number for me is in interacting with everyone everywhere all the time and always shining the light to see the perfection that is unfolding or emerging or showing up. So that's my gig. Okay. So do you want to say something?
I'm done.
So what I want to do is I want to go to, because of the time, whether or not we've got 35 minutes. We need a break because we haven't taken a break. Are you okay for 35 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody need?
Go, yeah.
You're going to go.
But when it's appropriate, I mean, should I go now?
You can go now, yep.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say while you're going,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be asking them to begin to look at what simple thing or things they could easily do to let go more easily of what's interfering with living on purpose, living their truth, living from that place of spiritual essence. So you can let go while you're peeing.
Okay.
So, yeah?
Look at what I'm holding on to that I need to let go of.
And how? How could you let it go? How? Because you sort of know there are things in the way.
Yeah.
Things that cloud our image or whatever. What could you actually do? What could you guys do to more easily let go of whatever seems to be interfering, putting fear in you or, you know, creating illusion or cloudiness for you? What could you do to just ponder it and write down a couple of things that come to mind. Yes, please, go for it. I know you need these.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, what was the last? To let go of.
What do you need to do to actually get clear about or remember who you are, who you're meant to be, Loretta? What could you do to support yourself? What could you do to clear away the obstacles? To be a new, to have a new mind? I know Jennifer is going to be here in brief soon, but I'm just going to start sharing something. First, I'm going to start with the yellow sheet of paper. The time is now to create the life you want, and I'm just going to read some things, some highlights. So, you all know that I've been writing loving reminders and sending them out on email since the end of 1998. I think you know that. So. I added up the other day, and it's over 6,200 loving reminders I've written. And that is my way of remembering, reminding myself, sharing with everyone who is part of me And so whenever I write a reminder, like these reminders, this one Robert happened to pull off with regard to this workshop, there's no time like the presence to show up. First of all, you have to show up to have your life work. Did you know that? You have to show up, not be hiding. You have to pay attention. There's no time like each encounter to pay attention. Everyone matters. There's no time like this one to tell the highest truth. Not the sort of ordinary. You know, a lot of us do the ordinary stuff. And there's no time like right now to let go and trust in God or goodness that's basically here. So we need to live what we believe to learn how to be actualized. We need to live what we believe to find our own self-actualization. And that means to be all that you are. Excuses are our way, I wrote here, of being right about doing nothing or about playing victim. We tend to be a culture that makes excuses about things. So to create the life we want is, it requires, we know what we want, we believe we deserve it, we're willing to clear the obstacles, that's what I just asked for. We undo or wash away the beliefs that aren't true. We create reminders and support. I don't care how you do it, whether it's loving reminders, you write notes on the mirror, or you write your self-love notes, or you say affirmations, a lot of ways. We eliminate negative and limiting thoughts, which means you have to notice. To let them go, you have to notice when they're up. Press the delete button or forgiveness button, whatever you use. Practice each day appreciation in your life. Continue clarifying your real wants and priorities. And for me, that's an ongoing process. Is this what I really want? If it makes you happy, that's it. If it doesn't make you happy, that isn't it. And to honor the work you do to crystallize your vision with your words and actions. In other words, it's all thoughts or visions, imagination, then words, put it in words, in writing or speaking or both, and then do something. Always you need to do something. People seem to think there's this mystical God up there and you say to the God, do this, and then it happens. You have to do something. You have to move your energy. What will it be for you today? Life is a choice. When we forgive all judgments and appreciate all creations, we're delighted to create again. In other words, you get really energized by creating and enjoying your creations. You get de-energized by judging your creations, by faulting yourself, by in any way criticizing or making it wrong, and you will tend to do less. Let go and trust in the good within you. That's what we're working on. On the other side, I'm going to have you help me with this one. What makes your life work well? Let's get real. Let's be practical. By the way, if you don't know me well, I'm extremely practical. When I do counseling, when I do my own life, I'm practical. I'm all about doing it. Not just thinking it, wishing it, hoping it, praying it, doing it. And do it now, soon, immediate, if you possibly can. That leaves room for the next doing. Mm-hmm. So you get about 1,000 times more done than anybody else because you're focused on doing what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to read the word, and then I want one of you to read after. So inspiration. Someone want to read that one? Yeah, Rick, thank you. Inspiration, it's on the other side. Want to read what it says under inspiration? Nobody?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Inspiration. What works well for me is being inspired and spiritually guided, living with spiritual principles and listening within for what is good inspires me. When I choose what brings happiness and joy, I know I am on track.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So choice. Someone read about choice.
I am able to choose what is best for me. When I choose this awareness of what I really want, I clear the path to full experience. When what I have chosen does not work, I simply stop and choose again.
Thank you. Focus.
I use all my time, energy, and resources focused on the life I choose to experience. I am focused on living true to my principles and mission in every encounter. Everything I do in some way supports what I have chosen to be, do, and have.
I just love that. All right. By the way, these are just things all of you could choose. So, freedom. Oh, forgiveness. Let's do forgiveness. Someone.
I use forgiveness as a cleaning agent to clear away all that I do not want.
I forgive whatever I, pardon me, I forgive whatever I experience as interfering with happiness, health, peace, and fulfillment. Forgiveness is an eraser filled with love and is the tool to return to being.
Thank goodness. Freedom.
I am free to choose what I think and say and do. I am free to choose what I want to experience and contribute. I am free to live with love and happiness, inner peace, and gratitude.
Organization.
Being organized makes my life efficient and effective.
Don't worry about 2013. That's just me.
Okay. Already scheduled with classes and clients, family time, and vacation. I have what I need to accomplish my daily priorities so I can flow with what comes. Every day, morning and evening, my home and office are clean, organized, and beautiful.
Renewal.
I take time daily to renew my choices and focus. I renew my commitments each time I speak or write. I utilize all gratitude to fill me up with a renewed sense of purpose and direction.
So you're starting to get this is true for me,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to look at what of these could be true for you or are true for you, but also what else. So simplicity. Somebody want to do that one?
I live simply by letting go of distractions, inner conflict, and insignificant choices. Letting go is fun, safe, and easy when I naturally release everything that is not for the greater good. I easily release stuckness, attachment, grievances, and guilt, and return to my natural innocence.
Trust.
I trust in the choices I make. I trust in the voice for love and allow myself to forgive and return to love. I trust in the goodness and love within all creation.
So I asked those questions of you, or one question depending on how you answer, about what's in the way. When you can listen inside enough to know I am that which I choose to be, and I have chosen things to interfere with that, and I choose now to let go of those things, you will begin to be guided by your inner guidance about what you're to do, how to let go. You know, what will allow you to take that spiritual shower or wash away the stuff that's not you. And I'm just curious if you're willing to share that, declare that out loud, as much of it as you're willing, so that all of us can say yes, and we can affirm together, you know, that yes, that's something you're going to commit to. You're going to choose right now to make a difference in your life. You want to go, Maida? I see you're sitting forward.
I keep breathing because breath is my meditation and meditating, looking into the mirror and see the beauty, doing my body work for myself every day religiously, and keep learning and exploring different philosophies that I constantly learn from. I'm never without a book. It's just like it's my passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, right now, I do, every morning a friend comes at 6:30, we do the Edgar Cayce treatment.
Yes.
For 6 weeks.
Good.
With a violet ray up and down the spine for 20 minutes. And this particular person has a disease, so-called, and we've been doing it 5 days, and it's already changing dramatically.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
This is my life.
Yes.
Constantly, what can I do for you?
Uh-huh. And I want to add, you not only do it for the other, in
yes.
the doing for the other, you're doing it for you.
No, she does me too.
Yeah.
So I do her 25 minutes.
Powerful.
I go on the table, and she does me 25 minutes.
Yes. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Thank you. Yes. By the way, say yes to me.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Right. So somebody else. Somebody else. What do you do?
I've got something going on that I've never had before. I thought about communication, verbal, vis-a-vis communication, nonverbal. So, turns out, I looked on the internet, turns out that there's 7%, 38%, and 55% meaning. Of our communication in total, 7% is verbal, 38% is tone of voice, and the other 55% or more is nonverbal. That said, I got this idea about that this will set you free, and I love this. It's amazing how these, you know, they come. And so what I thought to myself, I thought, wow, the Indians used to speak in terms of white men speak with orchid tongues. And I got to thinking to myself that the words sometimes that we speak, you go to, when we talk about truth, well, what does it look like? We don't know. But when you talk about nonverbal, which is everything else other than verbal, how we sit, how we, you know, our posture, everything, the environment, everything, then what I've learned is that that's where the truth, that's what it looks like. It is changing from moment to moment and person to person to person. It's always changing. And so I also learned that there's content, three C's, content, context, and clusters. So when we see clusters of behavior, this works, I go through, anyway, we see clusters of behavior that are truthful, you connect the dots and you've got a truthful person. However, when we see clusters of behavior that are contextually and content, the content and context, and they're clusters of behavior that are not consistent, then we know that we're dealing with someone that's speaking with forked tongue. And when we try to compare with the voice and such, we get fooled, tricked, thrown off. What I would suggest is that as an observer of animals, I didn't know it, but there's a quote in this thing I looked up that says, to acquire knowledge, one must study. To acquire wisdom, one must observe. That's the preface in this verbal versus nonverbal communication. One must observe the wisdom thing. So anyway, all these blessings that have come to me, and just recently about the truth that set you free, I made a quote to someone about no man is free who's not master of himself, and subsequent to that, it came back to me from another person that was connected to the first one, that the truth will set you free, and I said, well, that's what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. So anyway, long and short of the whole thing is 55%, 75%, up to 99%, of the truth of what we're really thinking, saying, and doing, like an emotional situation, it can be 99%, is in our nonverbal movements and actions and everything about us. Everything. I thought that was pretty good.
Live your truth.
You could say,
walk your talk,
walk
live
talk,
your
ideally,
truth.
Ideally, that's the ideal. Get both worlds, walk the talk.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody else. Carol's ready. You ready?
Well, I've been trying to let go of this fear that I had to buy a new car this year because the car wasn't doing very well. And financially, I've never had a car payment. So I've just been working on the fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always done well in life.
So you always will.
And I always will.
That's right.
So that's what I'm working on.
Good. She's reminding herself by telling us. So yes, that's true. Somebody else. Yeah.
I need to work. I am working on feeling good about who I am and knowing that I am capable, because I tend to get into this place of feeling like I can't do things and I can't think. All the stuff that gets in the way, you know, and I just need to know that there's always a way, regardless. It may not be the way that somebody else does it, but I can do it my way. Regardless of physical pain, regardless of not feeling mentally clear, when you said about, you know, being the hermit, nine being the hermit, I know. Really, even as much as I love being around people, I love engaging, but I also can be very much a hermit. So, and so that's something that I get to work on, is not allowing myself to get into that hermit stuckness. It's not to say that being alone, I'm not saying that's bad, because being alone can be wonderful. And it's just that there's work to be done. So that I can feel empowered. I disempower myself. I have been disempowering myself
and it doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel good at all. I feel, you know, definitely it's a disconnect with my divine self.
Good.
My disconnect with God. And I know that when I can truly come back to the moment and breathe in and, you know, come from that place of gratitude and not put all that judgment about, well, I'm not doing this and I haven't accomplished this and blah, 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 and just be okay and fill myself up with love, then
thank you.
Good.
Thank you. By the way, I'm starting to notice, if you haven't noticed, but when people talk about what they have to work on, that they get heavy,
yes.
They slow down, and the happiness and joy sits there. I can hear it. I can see it in the face. I can see it in the aura. I can feel it inside. So just know that that work is a very interesting thing, which I'm going to comment on when we're done.
Yeah, I feel
okay.
I feel sick.
Just the thought of I've got to work on it, all of that, yes. And she feels sick right now. So somebody else, well, what is it that you currently want to do to support yourself in being who you really are? Yes.
I tend to take on, more specifically, my mother's fears. I want to get my ears pierced again. I want to get my next tattoo. My mom lives in fear of these things, and I find that her fear, I see as her trying to control me, but I think it's just her fear messing with me so that I'm not going and doing these things that I want to get done. And I just need to stop living my mom's fear.
Thank you. Yes, this is good.
Yeah.
And by the way, so now I'm going to tell you, you can check out inside yourself. I mean, Lisa's already done this and I can feel it. You can check out in your imagination how you will feel when it's done, when this work, whatever it is done. If you check it out when the work is done and you have the feeling, you've already done the work. Okay, you can take it back and you can keep being in the work still, but you also can just go to your imagination and it's done. Okay, somebody else want to share? Thank you for getting it. That was good. Yeah.
So the two things I'm conscious and I'm working on is remember that this is Earth School. So that's
Earth School, I like that.
Right. So in this school, I have a great platform to not be perfect, because
uh-huh.
that's the thing that I'm letting go is everything that's happening is divine, and my higher self knows and has brought this because the timing of where I want to be.
Yeah.
So I'm embracing more into that and trusting my intuition versus having to be very organized, plan everything. It's having this plan A, plan B, plan C. This is how my mind works. And so I'm learning to let that go more in my personal life.
Wow, good.
And keep that just a little work because I'm supposed to do that. And then more on the personal level is to embrace being imperfect and be comfortable with
uh-huh.
what Robert said. It really resonated that I'm perfect just the way I am. And you know what? It's about seeing if when you can embrace your own perfection, you can embrace other people's perfection.
Uh-huh.
So that's one area that I'm really more focused on. And the other is, and Lisa brought that up, now I'm hitting it with breath. My mother has this whole thing about her life of being a victim,
uh-huh.
and I was conscious about a month and a half ago that I wanted to clear that pattern in my life. So what I'm seeing is I've got lots of rescuers that want me to come and rescue them, and I'm saying, get away from me. And so I find that that's very hard for me because I don't want to rescue anybody, right? And this it's a clearing. It's a mother energy that I left when I was 19 and did not let her come close to me since then. But if I'm going to grow and not be perfect, I have to go with the flow, trust my higher self, and work on clearing it.
Thank you.
Phew, that was heavy.
Got that sense.
Yeah.
So who else?
I approach it from the point of view of what could I do. So I have two things that I can do to help let go of stuff I don't need, and one is forgive myself for not meeting my own expectations.
Thank you.
And the second is no comparisons. It's similar to the first because really no comparisons with what I was able to do or who I was in the past or how I acted in the past, and also no comparisons about this idealized sense of who I ought to be.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful, yes.
Forgive myself and no comparisons.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. This is good. Good. Anybody else want to declare in front of the goddesses and gods in this room? Yeah. Yeah.
I want to let go of the cloudiness, the thoughts that limit me and my doubt. I want to let go of the doubt that I have that seems to creep up all the time. I find that a lot of times I'm judging myself, and then I'm judging others, and my judgment of others is just really the same thing as judging myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to let go of that and just appreciate and be grateful and appreciate.
Wow, yummy. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Good, good, good. Anybody else? Are you going to say, Loretta? Did you want to say anything? It's okay if you don't. You want to let go, you want to let go or undo anything, or you know a way to support yourself in remembering who you really are?
I think to hold to the truth and brush away the negative.
Very cool. Thank you. That was nice and tidy. A really simple one. So I want to acknowledge a couple of things that I heard from you guys as we were going around the circle. One is that it is true, whether or not you choose to accept it, that you bought somebody else's ideology, however you say that,
mm-hmm.
or belief system, or warnings, or... And I'm saying somebody else, but it could be the world as a whole. It could be your teacher in first grade. It could be, you know, one of your parents. It could be your grandparents or a whole history, a lineage of people back there who you bought it because they loved you. That's what they said. And you wanted their love. You felt it. So you just took it on. So very often when we're clearing away this mud and whitewash, this stuff, this clouding our vision and interfering with how we live. Very often what we need to do is we need to forgive our tendency to take on other people's judgments of us.
Mm-hmm.
That most of us walk around with a mantle of, this is what I was judged to be. Good, bad, and in between, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes physical body stuff, that includes financial stuff, that includes relationship stuff, that includes just how you interact in the world, that stuff. So thanks for bringing that up. And you don't have to name them and say, oh yeah, my mother did this or my father. You don't have to do that. But if that's what comes up for you, that's the best place to begin. Because you'll discover that that's where they learned, how they learned, whatever it was they taught you. So it's a whole lineage. So that process of forgiveness, I don't know if you guys know the Bible, it says 70 times 7. Well, what it's saying is, forever and ever all the way back, and forever and ever all the way in the future, you are freeing everyone. Because when we're healed, we're not healed alone. When we're awakened, we're not awakened alone. When we're enlightened, we're not enlightened alone. So this whole deal you are doing for all humanity for all time. All humanity for all time. That's how big it is, and that's how important you are. Every one of us is that important. Everybody for all time. By the way, that's the simple affirmation. I forgive everyone and everything for all time, including myself. Everyone and everything for all time, including myself. And let's see, it seems like there was one, oh, it was the thing that I brought up about just imagining who you'll be and how you'll be, which is what this workshop actually brought up in a sort of a wordy way, is who are you really? Who are you really? And if you can just begin to imagine who you are really, you've already made miles and miles of progress in that direction. And you actually, if you can imagine who you will be when you are enlightened or illumined or the master of universal energy, if you can imagine that, what I'll tell you is you actually have to take on all the old stuff to forget that that's who you are. You have to recreate the past cover-up or fears or judgments in order to forget that you are not the master of all those things that you claimed. Does that make sense to you? And what we do is we walk around reminding each other, oh, you're not that yet. Oh, yeah, you still have to do that. Oh, yeah, you know, you're not there because you're messing up in this area. But if you could just hold that in your imagination, meaning in your mind, you would discover that's who you are. It's poofing rather than processing. Poofing rather than processing. You sort of get what I'm saying by that? Yeah.
Poofing?
Poofing.
Poof.
It's gone.
Genie.
Because we tend to make up. It's going to take time and money and energy and therapy and you know, medicine and all that stuff we make up. Going to church regularly, you know, reading the Bible, you know, all that. And all that is we keep taking back, oh, I'm just human. Oh, I'm not that yet. Oh, I'm not perfect. Instead of owning, yeah, I play imperfect sometimes. It helps me fit and belong and understand other people who think they're not perfect and all that. But I'm really perfect. Just as I am, right here in this place and time. That was the other piece, and then I'll... The other piece is, I want you to imagine that we're all humanity, and actually animals and creation too. We're all in this big circle, holding hands. Because we really are one, when it all comes down to it. And I'm holding hands with the people that I need to be next to, and they need to be next to me. And those people in my life shift around at various times, but I'm right where I need to be, showing up the way I'm needing to show up, to be with those people in the most healing, positive, loving, transformative energy I can be.
It's
so I don't ever need to judge myself, huh?
It's a square dance.
It's a square, life is a square dance. And a do-si-do.
That's good, Robert. What do you want to say?
I was just wanted for clarity that you were saying that in order to have something change, to let it go, it needs to come to our awareness. We need to
imagine it. Yep.
We need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even feel it.
Hopefully see
yeah.
it, feel it, and
yeah.
speak it.
And speak it.
But it can start just with a thought. Just with an enlightened thought.
Okay.
Is that possible? That thought. Light bulb.
Okay, so that needs to be brought into the awareness before you can let it go.
And then feed it. And by the way, Robert's going to say more, but take one of these before you go, because it describes the process.
I want to say something about that, because a lot of times we waste energy in our life looking for things to clean up. Okay? Trust me, stuff that needs to be cleaned up in your life will show up in your life.
Right.
So I want to just kind of reframe that you're not really bringing up stuff, you know, to
you
look at.
You don't have
to
dig.
Okay? So the deal is, you live your life clean. You live your life like the master of universal love. And when stuff splats on your windshield, that's when you turn on the wipers, you clean it off, and you keep on going down the road, okay? It's just that a lot of people, when stuff comes up, they say, oh, no, I guess I'm not that, and I guess that really isn't true, and I guess I was just making all that up, and then we get sucked into, oh, now I have to heal. No, all you do is turn on the windshield wipers, you know, a little fluid maybe, clean off the bug stuff, and then keep driving down the road. So don't let it cause you to forget the truth of who you are. Expect that it will come up to say, oh, this is what's been in the way. Good, thank you. Now I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because we're at the end, this is what I'm going to do to kind of crisp up the end. Anybody who doesn't have my 30-day forgiveness process, which might be you, Jennifer, I would like your email address.
Okay.
And I think, Robert, have you been recording? If you want to listen to this again, you will receive, I think I have everybody's email address. Have yours, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure. You want to give her a sheet of paper? Here.
And I'm pretty sure
that's
how I found out.
Just
about
put it down there so I know that you're
put
here.
On this list.
Because I don't send it out to everybody. I'm just sending this out. We're sending a recording out only to the people who are here in this group. Okay? I don't send it out to everybody.
Right.
So you'll see where you can listen to that again if you want to. Secondarily, on the 21st of May, I looked at this, by the way, and it's not up to date, the one that's here. So the 21st of May is the next half day. That's a Saturday morning, and I believe it's prosperity and stewardship. I will send that to you, prosperity and stewardship. Or another way to describe it is financial freedom, or another way to describe it is recognizing your own abundance and how to live in prosperity, basically. Prosperity thinking as well as activity. And there's a lot in that that's really not understood. And, yeah, we will do a lot of cleaning.
We're not to come here that day?
No, that day you're coming here. That day you're coming here. May 21st, 9:30 in the morning. May 21st, 9:30 in the morning. And then the June one was going to be the 18th, and I'm shifting it to the 25th. And it will be in our home, and I will let you know of that. And Loretta, I'll, those of you, you do get email. I think everybody here gets email except for Rick. Yeah, so that's going to be in my home. And what I'm going to do, because not everybody wants the whole day, what I'm going to do, I haven't decided how to time it quite, but there will be a morning part of that workshop, and then there'll be an afternoon part so that we can go deeper in whatever the topic is. So it will be a full day, probably from 9:30 until 4. That's what my hunch is. And there will be lunch. That's it that I know for now, because my July date, we have grandkids.
What was, I'm sorry, the retreat was when?
25th.
Saturday, June 25th, 9:30 to 4 is what I'm guessing.
I would come, but my grandson's getting married.
Wonderful.
In Minnesota.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then there will be another retreat in August up at Hidden Valley Lake. So that will be another full-day retreat with meals, probably the about the 19th of August.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. And those will have different topics. I think the August one is going to be more about revealing your own love for self, your own self-discovery and love for yourself. Because, by the way, in case you hadn't recognized it, that what's interfering for all of us in what some call self-realization or God-realization is we don't love ourselves. I mean, that's just the bottom line. When you get all the way under it, we're holding lots of things separate from ourselves, seeing ourselves in an unloving way. The one in June is going to be relationship communication. What were you going to say, Jen?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Okay. So because you all get the information, and I'll send it to you guys, what I really want to do, because sometimes we don't recognize the power of this, I want each of us in this circle to express an appreciation for this time that we all held and shared together. Anything that comes through that you simply want to say that you appreciate, that you value, that's what grows, thank you very much, that's what grows more of the good in your life. You must take a moment as completion to appreciate. Just, because I really appreciate this, and I frankly want you to know that everything I asked for, I was here to be happy and enjoy, I did that. I was here to be clear and open, and I did that. I was here to connect, I feel really connected, and I'm here to be reminded and have a new mind and not be conformed to the world, and I definitely experienced what I wanted, and I got it, and I thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Aww. So somebody else, just go around and say what you appreciate.
Well, I think we're all here for a divine invitation, all of us. So.
And I appreciate that?
And I appreciate it.
Thank you. To say the words are very important, more important than you realize. I appreciate, I'm grateful, I give thanks. To say the words are exactly what you need. It's not just to say, it's say the words.
I appreciate my big heart, which almost fills out the whole cavity, to forgive the people which have done very, very wrong to me. To still say hello and love them and write a book.
Thank you.
And I keep writing a book.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Keep
thank
writing
you.
A book.
And I appreciate the energy, inspiration, and enthusiasm that you have shared in the group.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity of you giving this class and for me to be able to receive and connect with all of these beautiful
children of God, and to have that inspiration filled out so
mm-hmm.
that I can partake,
mm-hmm.
because it's exactly what I've been wanting and needing, and just to have the support. It's just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's all good.
I appreciate you saying that for me, because that's what I was going to say, but you said it for my own.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate Robert and Betty Lou and sharing their knowledge and love. And as far as expressing my intent, it did work out. I did raise my consciousness and receive inspiration. I did grow spiritually, and I did give and receive love and share fellowship and friendship.
Yeah,
thank you, Loretta.
So
thank
got
you.
All
thank
of those
you.
Things.
By the way, anybody wants to give her a ride, she's not very far from here. Loretta could use a ride, I think, right?
Yes, but aren't we going
yeah.
to have
oh, so you're going to hang out? Good, you get to take a nap. Right here.
Good.
Yeah, we have one more afternoon fellowship. If any of you want to come, we meditate from 3:45 to 4, and then we have an hour together today. And it's, by the way, it's listen and follow is the topic. So, yep.
Listen and follow.
Listen and follow. Learn how to listen and follow. Yep. So, yes.
I want to thank every one of the spiritual teachers in this room today, because when I walked in, I knew I was supposed to be here, and I had so many distractions before I got here. And I said, but there's a message I'm supposed to hear from everybody. And what I needed today was, I don't have to be perfect.
Mm.
Because I've been feeling more of the push and work to hold, it's the role I'm in, it's constantly having to put up everybody's fire. But sometimes I get so tired because I feel like I'm holding on for everybody, and I just want to fall apart. So today, it was an opportunity to recognize that these are all my fellow teachers, and they are so authentic and so real to be with the community. So I thank you so much for lifting my spirit, that I can take this as a reminder not to forget when I get back to work on Monday.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody else.
I want to thank also everyone here, because I feel the support and the love from everyone, and I thank you as leaders for being here, and I'm really appreciative of the work that we did today. The reminders, I was reminded and blessed, and I feel very good and warm. <being here. laughs>
Thank you. Yeah. Good and warm, I like that.
Did you say that the retreat on June 25th was going to be at your home in Brentwood?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there, you gave May, June, and August, then July date? I think I put these on my calendar.
Not right now, because there was one for July, and right now I think we're picking up one of our grandchildren. We have grandchildren a lot in the summer, so I think we're at the airport.
So
but I'll let you know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'll let you
okay.
know.
What's
I'll
the time
you.
Frame of the June 25th one?
9:30 to 4. I just made it up right now. I literally half an hour before we met this morning is when I heard to do that, to do a day-long retreat.
Okay.
So I haven't detailed it, obviously. So anybody else? Yes.
I'd like to get old. Oh, bless you.
Yes,
you. I've known you folks for a lot of years. And I gotta say, I sure wouldn't be right here right now were it not for you. You saved my bacon, literally and figuratively, spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually, a bunch of times. And you've been loyal too. You know, you've not abandoned ship in all these years. You even to this very moment, you've always been right here, kind of watching over things and such. And
thank
the,
you,
the wisdom and the truth and the love that you both. Constantly, which we need to, we need the constant reminders of the truth that we are, and how you take, and it's like a refuge in a way. You could say it's like a refuge with what you had spoken about, Yeshua, and how sometimes one kind of feels like to take on all the non-responsibility of people that are not willing reason. You take on all that stuff so much, and without the strength of truth and love, forgiveness, and all that goes with all this, it can be really lonely out there. I find that it's a paradox that life is, it requires I find myself steeping myself into negative things quite a bit in order to grow. You have to do that. And then to thank God for yourself once again, individually, collectively.
Mm-hmm.
I always can come back after going out into the stuff and come back and then shake myself off, you know, and I get, you know, recharged again. Plus, I learned in the process a lot of stuff, good stuff that I learned by going out and getting
mm-hmm.
into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you have to do it, and it's not necessarily fun exactly, but on the other hand, when you have good folks that are truth-based and love-based, it's okay. You don't mind. It's like bring it on.
Thank you.
Well, you know, two things came up when you were speaking was that we were talking about always keeping moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
it's important.
So that's, you know, part
yep.
of moving. We're here in this beautiful, you know, support system, then we go out in the real world, and so we've got to keep moving, you know, but then also everything is an opportunity, like you were saying,
yeah.
that you learn a lot by going out, so
mm-hmm.
you just get to look at that stuff and go, you know, how am I getting triggered, you know, and this and that, and then
yeah.
bring it back, and
mm-hmm.
you get recharged, so oh, that's great, yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. The world offers good learning material to strengthen us and literally inspire us and empower us and to transform us, and we just need to find places and ways, which is what this last go-round was, in which we can wash up, we can shower, spiritual shower, we can cleanse ourselves to be renewed again. Yeah. Always more aware.
I love that term, spiritual shower.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Ironically,
we're spritzing each other.
Ideas is in the shower.
Yeah.
Well, there's something to that.
It's true for most of us, actually.
Yeah.
It's an alone time for most people, you know. Yeah.
It's kind of like a back to the womb time or something.
Cleaning.
You really, things come. Ideas
yeah.
and thoughts. Well, just that's the best place to get good ideas. And trees are good, too.
Well, it is. It's when you're in the shower, it is a not only
cleansing.
Physical cleansing.
Yep.
It's you're clearing the energy
yeah.
of the day. Or
I promised 12, so
okay, sorry.
I'll just say that we'll be here for a few more minutes. Okay. I try to be really on time, both coming and going. And so I really want to acknowledge at a deep level you for coming, for showing up. You know, because there is a way that you are committing to humanity, actually, to do the work, to lift yourself out of the mud
yep.
and remember the light in you. And it's a gift to all of us that you're reminding yourself about the beauty and the goodness that you are. So thank you. Thank you very much.
You.
And there's a love offering basket there, you know, and you know that we use those monies really well, not just to pay for the space, but we serve many, many people who have no money or have minimal money. So anything that you give to Reunion Ministries will be shared with others in big giving ways. So thank you.
Thank you.